Hello and welcome. Thank you for listening. My name is Sarah Baumert. I am a yoga teacher, Feldenkrais practitioner, and host of the Sarah B. Yoga podcast. The Sarah B. Yoga podcast and my practice, Body Matter, is an interdisciplinary learning space where we explore the many ways that movement can help facilitate body acceptance and awareness, reduce pain and stress, regulate the nervous system, and build strength and ease. My teaching plays with the synthesis of Feldenkrais awareness through movement lessons, traditional yoga asana, creative imagery, breathing exercises, self-massage, and a compassionate mindset to help you feel a greater sense of ease and comfort in yourself. Sarah B. Yoga and Body Matter have a lot of other program offerings. These podcasts are just a taste of my teaching. Each week, I teach a range of online classes, including a gentle yoga class, a level 2 class for more advanced students, and Feldenkrais classes with monthly themes, anatomy lessons, and Q&A sessions for more in-depth study. I have 2 new courses starting at the end of February. One is my continued Monday night blending of yoga and Feldenkrais class. This series will have a focus on the pelvic floor, the psoas, and the abdominal complex. Each class will use pelvic floor mapping as an entry point for a well-rounded practice. The second course is The Secret Language of the Arms, where we will explore Feldenkrais lessons that offer the hidden potential within the upper body. You might imagine this scenario. You go to just grab your phone and check on something, and before you know it, that kind of gripping action of your hands, of holding the phone, starts to create a tension that travels up your arms, to your neck, to your jaw, to your chest. You might even realize that you've been holding your breath and you're somewhat lost in this digital world as your body braces. And for what, really? We've all been there, uncomfortable with the tension that comes from our technology, where the strain travels from our fingertips up through our arms, into our shoulders, our chest, even to our foreheads. And none of us are immune to these kinds of modern day scenarios. So in this series, The Secret Language of the Arms, each lesson will include 2 components. We'll move from microcosm to macrocosm and connect the dots along the way. So you can think microcosm, an exploration of the articulation and functional coordination of the smaller joints, like the fingers, the wrists, the elbows. And then we'll expand outwards, discovering how your arms integrate with the whole self, feeling the way your spine, your ribs, even your legs and your feet, how they contribute to the harmony of the movement of your arms. No Feldenkrais lesson is complete without an integration of the whole self. While there will be this focus on the upper extremities, these will be whole body lessons. You can find a link for these 2 new spring courses that start at the very end of February, beginning of March. Find all of that in the show notes, or just visit body-matter.com. I hope to see some of you there. Okay, on to today's episode. Hello, and welcome to the Sarah B. Yoga Podcast. This podcast is an intersection of my yoga teaching and my training in the Feldenkrais method. This is a 75-minute live class. It's a yoga class that does include some pretty non-traditional yoga movements. Class is focused on keeping attention to the length of the spine, finding space between the head and the tail during all of our poses, side bending, twists. And we'll explore some, as I said, non-traditional movements, some down on the belly, some crawling actions, twisting while on the belly, getting to know the floor really well in some different ways. So listen carefully for some of those sequences. If you get confused, you can always just pause. I will likely clarify the directions a little bit more. Before we start, I'm going to read a quick review from one of the listeners. They say, "I love this podcast. I've been dipping in and out of it for a year or two now. Really clear instruction. You work hard, but it never feels frenetic. Sarah's teaching style is calm, consistent, and precise. I've been doing yoga for 20 years, and this made me feel the poses in a new way. I love reading the reviews, so please keep them coming. Also, I'd love to let you in on a little something I've been using for some time now. It's called Magic Mind. Magic Mind is this little shot that helps you focus. It's full of ceremonial grade matcha green tea, adaptogens, and nootropics like turmeric, ashwagandha, and lion's mane mushroom, as well as honey. My body reacts somewhat negatively to coffee. It makes me feel really jittery and tense and keeps me from sleeping. So I prefer to not be too amped up on caffeine in general. And Magic Mind is a great alternative. It has a really nice taste, a balance of tart and sweet. And since Magic Mind is not heavy on caffeine, it doesn't prevent you from sleeping properly at night. And we all know how important that is. So right now you can get 20% off any Magic Mind pack or subscription with code SARAHB14. And they are currently doing a 14 days of magic challenge. You can check it out at magicmind.co and use SARAHB14 for a 20% discount. Okay, so let's get on to class. Grab your mat, grab your props, and we'll get started. All right, let's begin. Welcome, everyone. Grab your blanket and unfold it so that it is across your mat, so that most of your mat is covered with blanket. Or maybe all of it is covered with blanket. And then before we lie down, you could just come to sit in any position and bring one of your hands to the back of your head and another hand to the back of your pelvis, your sacrum area. And I just want you to feel with your palms these two points. So your sacrum isn't quite the base of your spine. Your tailbone is, but that's a little bit deeper inside. You can still find it though, but we're just more feeling the sacrum area. And then the back of your head is not technically a part of your spine, but right behind your eyes is where the very top of your spine is. So we're using these two points as a reference for the length of your spine, the two ends of your spine. And we'll use those a little bit today as we continue. Okay, let that go. Go ahead and come and lie onto your blanket. And if you do have anything holding your hair up, like a ponytail or anything, if it's possible for you to take that out so that you can really feel the back of your head on the floor behind you, have your legs long, just coming to Shavasana. Let the eyes close. Giving the body just a few moments to settle. And feel those two places, the back of your sacrum and the back of your head, and how they meet the floor. And it should be pretty clear that they do touch the floor. See if you can sense the length or the distance between those two places. And if you continue to keep attention on the back space, if you scan from the sacrum up to the top of the head, feel what other parts of your spine are very clearly touching the floor. So with your sensation, with your mind's eye, traveling up the spine, noticing the curves, noticing which parts are really clearly on the floor.
We've already established that the sacrum and the back of the head are clearly on the floor. And so what other parts for you do you feel? And so the floor gives us feedback for the back of our spine. We often think of our spine as this part of us that's in the back of us, but your spine also has a front to it. And that's harder for us. We can't really touch that, right? You could bring your hand back behind your neck or behind your low back, and you could actually feel the spinous process of the vertebra from the back. It's harder to feel them with your finger from the front. So we have to use a little imagination. And then also, let's see if we can use our breath. So you're just starting to bring attention to your breath and seeing if in some way that presence of movement in your torso could help you sense that there's a front surface to your spine also. And this is kind of elusive, so please use your imagination as much as you need to. Great. And now bring your hands to your front hip points, those bony points at the front of the pelvis, and your hands will just be gently resting there, going for a little ride. So with your right leg, you keep your legs really relaxed. Can you imagine somebody pulls a little bit your right leg? So your right leg gets a little bit longer. It stays connected to the floor. But feel what happens at the back of the sacrum. And then they let go. They're not pulling that right leg anymore. And they come over to your left leg and they give your left leg just a little bit, very gently, a little tug. And so start to go back and forth, letting your right leg get longer. Meanwhile, your left leg gets a little shorter. And as you go back and forth like this, you can feel the hip points underneath your hands. One slides with the foot that's reaching away from you, and one will slide a little bit more headward. And so then if that's happening with your hip points, then what's happening at the back of your pelvis and at your sacrum? I like to imagine when I'm doing this that the sacrum's like a flat, almost like a plate. And that plate is spinning a little one direction, a little the other direction. That's right. So it's not a huge movement. The toes can be relaxed. The ankles can be relaxed. Seeing if you can release some tone in the quadriceps. And noticing if more parts of your spine start to get involved, maybe even your head starts to move a little bit. Great. Okay, let that come to rest for a moment. Sense your breath. And now bring the soles of your feet together so your knees are wide. Soles of the feet come together to touch. Your hands can stay on your hip points for a bit if you'd like. Press the feet together a bit and see if you can feel each of the toe pads, the two big toe pads touch, the two second big toe pads touch. Try to rearrange arrange your toe pads so they're meeting their sibling. Great. And now, can you lift just your heels away from the floor? So the little toe side and the front of the foot stays on the floor, right up near the little toe. So you're just lifting your heels. Notice what that does to the engagement in your legs. Then lower your heels and lift the pinky toes off the floor, like you're trying to point your big toes to the ceiling. And rock back and forth like that. Lift your heels and then lift your toes. Great. And pause, come back to the center. Okay, now slide both feet away from one another, a couple of inches. You're still on the outside edge of the feet. Slide both feet now away from you so that your legs start to straighten. Before they get fully straight, slide your feet back together, soles of the feet together, and slide your heels back towards your pelvis. So you kind of made maybe a long rectangle or an oval. The 2 feet mirrored each other. We're going to do that a couple times, warming up the hips here. So the outside edges of the feet stay connected to your blanket. They widen apart. The feet slide away from the head. The soles of the feet come back together. And then the heels come towards the pelvis. And your blanket might get a little mucked up, but that's okay. Yeah, how's your breath now? So we're not bracing the core in some way. So you can let your pelvis rock a little bit as you do this. We could brace the core and keep the spine totally neutral, keep the pose totally neutral, but it's not what we're after right now. Great. Okay. The next time the soles of the feet are together and a little bit more up towards your pelvis, a more traditional Baddha Konasana moment or shape, stay there. Keep the soles of the feet together and just slide them over to the right. So your right side waist might shorten a little bit and then slide the feet through middle and over to the left. And go back and forth like that. And again, see if you can feel the sacrum like a plate. Like a flat plate that starts to spin a little bit in coordination with where your legs are going. That's right. And if you're starting to feel your spine get more involved, your head get more involved, that's great. We're going to start to include those in a minute. Okay, come back to the middle. I'm going to give your hips a break. Stand your feet. Bend your knees so that your knees are pointed towards the ceiling. Interlace your fingers back behind your head. Take your elbows wide. Let the backs of your hands be on the floor. So they're supported by the floor and then your head is supported by the hands. Open your eyes and see the ceiling. Now, don't let your head turn to the right or to the left, so you'll keep your face looking at the ceiling, and with your hands help, start to move your head, the head end of the spine, over to the right. And you can let your whole spine start to side bend, the right side ribs gather together, and then come back through center and let the head slowly start to shift to the left. So your arms get to do the work, but the whole length of the spine also supports the head moving one way and the other. That's right. And it's not a tugging on the neck. So the neck does have quite a lot of mobility. But what we can start to get interested in here is how the thoracic spine can mobilize in order to move the head around in space. So remember your thoracic spine or all the vertebrae that have ribs attached to them. And as you're doing this, you know, focusing on the head, is your sacrum doing anything? Is your sacrum starting to join in, your sacrum and your tail? So that if you think about your spine, just like a long worm, let's start with worm. You know, you see a worm kind of curl over to one side. Great. Okay. Come back to the middle. You can relax your arms for a moment. Take your arms down. Keep the knees bent and the feet standing for a moment and just sense those two places, the back of your sacrum and the back of your head. And notice the distance between them. Notice the other parts of your spine that touch the floor. And maybe that's changing a little bit. Okay, bring the soles of your feet together again, knees wide. Interlace your fingers behind your head. Elbows are open. Okay. Your feet, the soles of your feet will stay connected. Slide your feet to the right as you slide your head to the right. So feeling your right knee and your right elbow come towards one another. Try not to turn your head to the right. You might want to, but let's keep the face pointed at the ceiling. And then slowly come back through center. Move the head and the feet to the left so that your left knee and left elbow come towards one another. Your left side ribs gather. So we're really finding this lateral side bending of the spine. And you can just slowly go back and forth. If you start to fatigue any place, you're welcome to stay. Like maybe you stay over in the side bend in one spot and you just pause there. And as you're moving slowly, let the slowness be important so that the movement is somewhat consistent. You know, you might pause at one point, but you're not rushing through any spots. You're looking for a smoothness and sensing how the sacrum and the head are relating to each other. And is it possible for you to imagine what's in between the sacrum and the head, right? The rest of the spine and how it's bending to one side. Like a worm or like a roly-poly, you know, they kind of roll, they curl and then they roll up. We're going to get there in a moment. Okay, the next time that your right knee and your right elbow come towards one another, let's all pause there and start to look to the right. Can you roll yourself all the way to the right? Bring your left knee to stack over your right knee. Bring your left elbow towards your right elbow and kind of curling inward. You can even flex here, rounding the back a little bit. Now let's pause here. Give your back space a moment in this flexion. Good. And then start to open back up, back onto your back, soles of the feet together, the head right in the middle. Start to move to the left with the head and the feet so that your left knee and elbow come towards one another. Eventually turning your head a little to the left, letting that help you roll to your left side, curling into a little ball. Elbows and knees can draw together and pause there in this flexion. Okay, so that's our pattern we're going to work with. So as you start to come onto your back, the knees and the elbows widen. Move through the side flexion, side bending of the spine, and then curl into that little ball. That's good. That's right. So this reminds me of, I know a lot of you have cats. You know, when your cat's laying on its back and then they do it really quickly. They really quickly kind of roll onto their side and all of a sudden they're actually on their feet. So you can imagine that here, that we could do that. We could keep rolling a little quicker and come onto our hands and our knees, but I'll just let that be for your imagination. That's right. And you can really play with that smoothness, like noticing the places where you have to jump through a spot. Great. Okay, let that go. Come onto your back, lengthen your legs, take your arms down. So just find Shavasana for a moment again and sense that those two places, the back of your sacrum, the back of your head. Notice the distance between the two. Great. Bend your knees, stand your feet. Cross your left thigh over your right. Interlace your fingers behind your head. And from here, we'll roll all the way to the right side. Yes, yeah, so you're going to come all the way onto your right side. Bring everything with you. The right elbow touches the floor. The hands are supporting the back of the head like a hammock. Press the head back into your hands a little bit. And then start to widen your left elbow to the left, coming into a twist. That's it. So the left elbow might not get to the floor. Keep your right elbow on the floor. See if you can feel your head lean back into your hands. So you have a nice open throat. Sense that there's some space between the top of the sternum and the chin. Great. Okay, let's do this for a moment. Everybody, point your left elbow to the ceiling. So you have to just bend at your wrist. Your hands are still interlaced behind your head. Now, if somebody came and gently put their hand on your left elbow and pressed your left upper arm bone towards the floor, so they push your elbow towards the floor a little bit. And this is in order to sense a movement of your side ribs, those armpit ribs, back towards the floor. And it might turn your upper chest just a little bit, or bring a new kind of activation or aliveness there. Okay, then start to widen your left elbow a little bit. Good. Use your exhalation to start to draw your lower back and the back of your pelvis back to the floor, lifting your knees, uncross your legs. And you can just sort of shift around if you need to bring yourself to a more neutral place. Let's all switch the interlace of the fingers. So you're using the non-habitual interlace. And then cross your right thigh over your left. Okay, roll your whole self to the left. And make sure your knees aren't too far away from you. So you could even draw your knees up a little bit more towards your chest. Your left elbow stays on the floor. Let the back of your head push a little bit back into the support of your hands. That can start to initiate the twist of the ribs to the right. Seeing if the knuckles, the backs of the hands can come to the floor so that your head can lean into that. It's not too much work. And to start with, let your right elbow widen. We'll start as we did on that first side. The crossing of the legs really constrains the pelvis here. So first, we want to make sure that if the sacrum has any instability, if you know that about yourself, that we're not aggressively trying to twist more in the lower part of the spine, which in general, those bones are not built for very many degrees of rotation. All the more reason to find more mobility in the thoracic, because if the thoracic is locked up, then your system, you know, your lumbar or your sacrum might decide, well, okay, I could move more. And that's not always a good thing. Okay, so let's point the right elbow to the ceiling. And imagine somebody gently takes their hand onto your right elbow and they push your right elbow towards the floor. Again, this is in service of waking up this armpit area, serratus anterior muscles, also your right shoulder blade. You might feel it moving a little bit towards the spine and firming onto the back. And then from there, widen the right elbow out again. Great. Use your exhalation to bring your lower back and the back of your pelvis back to the mat. Uncross the legs. Release your hands from behind the head. Keep your feet standing. Bring attention once again to the back of your sacrum and the back of the head, those two points. We have the floor for our feedback right now. Take your arms overhead, reaching the arms all the way towards the floor alongside the ears. They don't have to get to the floor. Your palms are facing the ceiling. Thinking about down dog here. Noticing the relationship of your arms and your head so that if your arms can't get to the floor here, then when you are in down dog, your arms are going to be a little bit forward of your head if your whole spine is neutral. Yeah, let's take the right leg straight up towards the ceiling. Your arms are still active. Reach through the back of the heel. Good. Bring your right foot back down. Take your left leg up. Good. Keep your left leg up. Roll your head a little bit from one side to the other. So the neck is somewhat free, but feel how your head is obviously still in line with your spine because the floor is helping you sense that. And you can just turn it a little bit one way and the other. See where your arms are. Notice that relationship of your arms and your head. Okay, bring your left foot down, bring your arms down. Okay, let's roll to the side. And let's take our blanket and let's do just make a single blanket roll. We'll use that. So you can fold it once or just roll it up from where it's at. Okay, you can put that aside and then just come up to your hands and your knees. All right, so from hands and knees, take a moment to find neutral spine. Feel the back of the sacrum and the back of the head. Imagine that you can sense them in the same way that you could when you were lying on your back. Feel the distance between the two. Turn the toes under. Press back towards down dog with bent knees. Now, for most of us, the arms will be slightly forward of the head. As long as that head is in neutral, in that neutral place. So let's all tuck the chin in towards the chest. And that should feel obvious that, you know, we're breaking the length of the spine at the neck. So now lift your chin a little bit away from the chest until you can start to sense what feels like how it felt when you were lying on your back. Now push the hands into the floor. Because we have this power of the floor, you might be able to find a little bit more length through your shoulders, a little bit more mobility to actually bring the arms farther back alongside the face. Great. Start to drop the backs of your heels, root them towards the floor as the tops of the thighs move back. And while the tops of the thighs move back, lengthen the sternum towards that spot between your thumbs. You don't need to look there with your eyes or with your nose. Your sternum goes to that spot between the thumbs. Good. Great. Slowly lower your knees down. Let's come back to child's pose. Okay. Just come up to your knees, or just going to do something kind of silly before we do this next exercise. So if you take one of your hands and make an L, you know how you can do that? You can take your thumb and your index finger, create an L. Okay. And then find a neutral with your spine, chin parallel to the floor. Bring the thumb somewhere to your sternum and the index finger to your chin. And you're just kind of measuring there, getting that sense of distance between top of sternum and chin. And then you could keep your hand there and come to one hand and knees. Yeah. Okay. And then bring your L hand back to the floor and just trying to sense that space. Okay. Now bring your right hand behind your head. The right elbow can widen to the right. Think of lifting out of your left hand. Like you want to lift your chest away from your left hand and start to turn the ribs to the right, turn the head to the right, but maintain that distance between sternum and chin so that the chin doesn't tuck in. Yeah, and this is, you might not find that many degrees of rotation here, so we're not expecting a huge movement. The head can press a little bit back into the hand. Great, now keep that space between sternum and chin. Look down again. And start to bring your right elbow to the floor. So your head and your chest will turn to the left, and you're keeping your left elbow straight. That's a constraint. Something very interesting has to happen with that left shoulder blade. Well, maybe the right elbow can come to the floor, maybe not. So we'll go back and forth like that a little bit, finding some mobility in the thoracic spine again. But with this attention that we're keeping the space between the sternum and the chin so that the head doesn't come into the forward head action. So right elbow to the floor and then right elbow towards the ceiling. Has nothing to do with your elbow, though. None of this has anything to do with your elbow. See how, if you can keep your left elbow straight, we're really rolling around that left shoulder joint. Great. Let that go. Bring your right hand down. So you've got all four points on the floor. Turn the toes under for a moment. Press back towards down dog. The two arms might feel quite different. Find that length from sacrum to back of head. Good. Bring your knees down. Come back to hands and knees. Okay. Left hand comes behind the head. Think about that space between your sternum and your chin. Lift your chest away from your right hand and start to turn to the left. Slowly, smoothly, keeping awareness of the space between sternum and chin. Good. Look back to the floor, keeping your right elbow straight. Start to bring your left elbow towards the floor. Your chest and your face will turn to the right. Nice. Going back and forth. Letting your hand be behind your head in order for your head to have a little feedback to push back into. The jaw is easy. Moving slowly so that you can feel the consistent pace. Not jumping past an area that might be a little bit more challenging. Great. Gently let that release. Bring your left hand down.
on all fours and turn the toes under, reach back to down dog.
Great. And you, the moment you reach back into a down dog, you can start to notice if there are any habits that you lean towards. The cool thing about habits is that when you're aware of a habit, you're actually no longer really in the habit when you're bringing awareness to it. It's more that you're exploring maybe why that habit's there. It's exploring something about that habit. And, you know, we can bring the habits of our life into down dog, or we can create habits in down dog or whatever pose we're doing. All right. Slowly lower your knees again. Okay. Let's come onto the belly. Just give our hands, our wrists a break for a moment. Stack your forehead on your hands. Take a few expansive inhale breaths downward towards your abdomen, into your low back. And every time that you breathe in and you feel that there's a little bit of pressure that goes towards the floor with your belly, can you imagine your head getting lighter as that happens? So you're inhaling, feeling how the belly pushes the floor a little bit, and imagining the head starting to float off the hands. And then as you exhale, you just let everything sink a little bit. So using that idea, this next time that you breathe in, do let your head float off of your hands and start to let your legs float up. You can keep your hands and your elbows on the floor, so we're not going for a really big back bend. We're feeling how the inhale breath and the movement of the belly towards the floor can lighten the head and the legs. And as you exhale, bring the head and the legs back down. So taking it in coordination with your breath. Feeling as you breathe in, belly expands, head and legs get light. As you exhale, head and legs come down. Let's do it one more time. Yeah, you don't need to push into the floor with your hands or your elbows. Great. Next time you come down, can you stay on your belly? Bring your arms out into more of a cactus shape. So palms are on the floor, forearms are on the floor. You could rest your forehead on the mat for a moment. So let's do the same thing. Just the head and the legs will float. We'll keep the hands on the floor, but don't put any weight in the hands. Don't push the floor with your hands. So if anything's pushing the floor, it's your center. So using your inhale breath, starting to float the legs and the head up. The eyes might start to look forward on your floor. Great. Exhaling, you lower. And one more time like that, using your breath in, not pushing the floor with your hands to lift, but using your breath. Great. Exhaling lower. And then slide your hands underneath shoulders, push up to your hands and your knees. Okay, find neutral spine. Now, remember that side bending that we did when we were on our back? We'll do it here on hands and knees. So if you imagine you have a really long tail, you're going to swing your tail to the right, and your right ear comes towards your right shoulder. So your face will stay directed at the floor. You're not turning to look back at your right hip. Right side body gets very short.
And then swing your tail and your head through center and move the tail to the left. The left ear tries to come towards your left shoulder. And just going back and forth like that and seeing if you can track the back of your head and the back of your sacrum as you move through this side bend. And see then if you can start to do it really focusing in on your thoracic spine. So that doesn't mean that the rest of your spine doesn't move, but if you draw those side ribs together, you might even get a shoulder blade involved. But so that you feel your head is still moving, but there's very little effort in your neck. Good. Great. Come back to the middle. Turn the toes under. Reach back to down dog. Walk your feet back to, walk your hands back to your feet. Now let the head fully hang, let the arms hang. Find a small bend of your knees. Feel the tops of your shin bones moving forward as the tops of your thigh bones move back. Those two actions simultaneously as you try to lift the hip creases, lift the sitting bones. And let gravity traction your spine. Great. Keep all those actions in the legs. Bring the hands towards the tops of the shins and move the sternum towards the front of your mat, coming towards a flat back. But think that your sternum wants to reach towards the top of the mat as you get there. Great. Exhale, fold forward. Very nice. I'm trying that again. So initiate from the sternum, lengthen it towards the top of the mat. Yeah, feeling the space between sacrum and back of head. Exhale, fold. Great. Now, can you put one hand on your sacrum, one hand on the back of the head? Reach your sternum forward towards flat back, come all the way up to stand, keeping one hand on sacrum, one hand on back of head. And once you're standing, just with your hands there, just imagine that these two points could start to drift apart. And the hand that's on your head might even give a sign of that, might just slide up a little bit. And the hand that's on your sacrum can slide down a little bit. And then let the hands leave that spot. And just leaving you with this sense of length there in the back body. Great. Okay, let's turn to face the long edge of your mat. We're going to take feet wide and we will bring our hands to the floor. So if you feel like you might want a block to put a hand on, you can grab a block. Great. Toes pointed forward. Let's just bring the hands to the hip creases. Bend your knees just a little bit. As you bend your knees, keep the inner arches lifted and shift your weight over to the left so that your right knee straightens. Think of this left knee going over the fourth toe and then coming back through middle, bending the right knee, straightening the left. Great. Just do that a few times, going back and forth, really simple, but with the sense that sacrum and back of head continue to drift away from each other. That's right. Good. Come back to the center. You can keep a little soft bend of the knees. Bring your left thumb
into your armpit or a little bit below on your side ribs, wherever you feel like you can put the thumb. With your thumb, actually take that tissue and move it back a little bit. Feel sacrum and back of head. Without taking the head forward and around to the left, just start to take a little bit of a twist. You can think about the space between sternum and chin. Twisting to the left. Yeah. It's okay if your pelvis starts to turn a little bit. You know, you can let that happen. But just make sure that your right knee doesn't knock inward. So if your pelvis is turning, can you still find support from your right foot? Lift at the inner right shin, up the inner knee. Great. Come back to the middle. Okay, release your left hand. Bring your hands down to the floor or your blocks. And find flat back. So your sternum is reaching towards wherever point in that room, in your room, that is out in front. And stand your right hand directly underneath your chest. Bring your left thumb to your armpit again. Bend your knees a little bit if you feel like that's helpful. And before we twist, can you find more length from sacrum to back of head? And from there, rotating, starting to twist to the left. And then you can release your thumb from your armpit, take your left arm towards the ceiling. Great. Nice, everyone. Feeling the left scapula draw a little bit towards your spine. So those left armpit ribs move back. Good. Now, can you bend your right knee? Think of right knee tracking over the fourth toe. Your pelvis is going to shift a little bit to the right. Yep. Your right pelvis might even be lower than your left pelvis. And maybe that allows you to turn a little bit more. The face could start to turn towards the ceiling. Great. Exhale. Bring your left hand down. Bring your hands to your hips. Extend your sternum forward and come all the way up to stand. Okay. Hands on hips. Bend your knees a little bit. Shift your weight over to the left, bending left knee. Going through center, shifting over to the right. Gently going back and forth and keeping the sense of lift through this internal space. This space between your legs is kind of charged. So you're not letting any knee collapse inward, but you're actually really kind of keeping this space and distance between the knees as you go back and forth. Yeah, great. Okay, come back to the middle. You can have a soft bend of your knees. Right thumb comes into armpit. Feel the space, the length from sacrum to back of head and begin to rotate to the right. Staying within that long axis of the spine as you twist. And again, you can go ahead and let your pelvis turn, but we're not rolling onto the inside edge of the left foot or rolling that left knee inward. So you're still trying to lift the inner arch of the left foot and find a lift at that inner knee. Good. Untwist. Release your thumb from armpit. Tip forward. Crease of the hips. Hands come to the floor. Find your long spine. Left hand will come right underneath your chest. Keep reaching the sternum towards that wall out in front of you. Right thumb to armpit to begin with. And begin to twist to the right. Now, gravity really wants to drop your head. So don't let it. You're having to push against gravity a little bit and find neck strength in order to keep the long axis of the spine. Good. Let your right hand, right arm start to lengthen up and out.
Slowly begin to bend your left knee. Think of your left knee tracking over the fourth toe. Your left hip crease will probably be lower than your right hip crease. And see if that little shift of the pelvis then allows you to find a little bit more twist up in the thoracic, through the ribs. Hug the right shoulder blade towards the spine. Good. Gently untwist, bringing your right hand down. Bring the hands to the hips, reach the sternum forward, and come on up.
Okay, let's feel a little bit of that in our triangle pose. So go ahead and turn your right toes out. Turn your left heel, knock it outward a little bit. Bring one hand to the back of your head and one hand to your sacrum. And I would say, well, you could probably do it either way, but I think right hand behind your head, left hand behind sacrum will be easiest. So we're just going to go into towards triangle pose with our hands there. I'm feeling that those two points could continue to drift apart. Yeah, good. Keep a lift through your inner left thigh. Good. Bring your right hand down to the top shin. Bring your left arm up. Good. And then now that you have your hands, you know, maybe you can slide your right hand down a little bit more, seeking a stretch through the outer left hip. The belly is turning towards the ceiling. Good. Now release your right hand from your shin. Turn your right palm forward. Push through the feet to bring you all the way up to stand. Great. Right toes turn in. Left toes turn out. Bring your left hand behind your head. Bring your right hand to your sacrum. It could even be back of hand. It's just giving those two spots feedback. Feel those two spots drift away from one another as you start to lean towards your triangle pose. Good. Easy in the jaw. Great. Bringing your left hand to the top of your left shin, right arm towards the ceiling. From there, you might be able to go a little bit deeper. You're still not putting much weight in your left hand, though. Good. Rolling the belly towards the ceiling. Nice. Release your left hand from your leg. Turn your left palm forward. Use the feet moving into the floor to come all the way up. Great. Bring hands to hips. Turn both sets of toes forward. Walk your feet underneath you. So let's grab this blanket, this rolled up blanket, and you can put a little bit more up towards the top of the mat. That's part of the mat where your hands would be for down dog. Not way up at the top. We'll get more specific in a moment. And just stand right behind it. Good. Bend the knees, fold forward, bring your hands to the floor so that you can then step back to down dog. The blanket shouldn't be so much in your way. Good. Active with the arms here, pressing the floor down and forward, and then feeling the forearms, almost like the forearms are trying to pull away from your hands, pull away from the floor. Great, exhale. Slowly lower your knees down. Right, this blanket is going to be right underneath our lower ribs, so not on the chest, not on the breast tissue, but right below that. So we're going to come down and we'll kind of start in a Sphinx pose. So we want to make sure that your breathing apparatus is okay with this. So just take a moment. Maybe slightly lower is okay also. So there's, you know, some ribs are definitely going to be on the blanket.
And lift the chin so it's parallel to the floor, just looking forward. Now, can you walk your hands out a little bit wider so they're off the mat and your elbows are pointed up a little bit more upward? And so now just feel, you can shift a little bit right and left, but push through one hand, push through the other hand, and let your chest and your shoulders kind of shift, or like a slow motion shimmy right and left. Mm-hmm. Just getting the ribs used to having some of that sensation also. Great. Now look over your right shoulder and try to see your right heel. Good. Come through center. Look over your left shoulder. Try to see your left heel. Good. And just go back and forth like that. And as you look over your left shoulder, could you think about drawing your left knee up towards that blanket? It's really similar action to what babies do when they start to crawl. And then come back through center. And as you look over your right shoulder, think about drawing that right knee up. And you could even start to bend it a little bit. Uh-huh. I know the sticky mat's going to be sticky for you, though. You're going back and forth a little bit like that, finding that pattern. You might look underneath your arm and then see your knee and let it draw up towards you. Great. Yeah, great. Starting to make sense. Okay. So the next time you draw that right knee up, keep drawing that right knee up so it comes towards the blanket. It doesn't have to get all the way there. Yeah. The blanket is giving you some weight on the ribs. Okay. Your left arm's going to slide underneath the right arm, underneath that tunnel. And then from there, see if you can bring your head. Your head might kind of drop a little bit. It might be a ways to the floor, to the floor. Okay, so first just feel this. This could be a home base place. You could hang out here for a while. Okay, next option, could you bring your hands behind your head? Interlace your fingers behind your head. So your left elbow is on the floor more clearly. Yeah, and then from there, start to turn your chest and your head towards the ceiling. Let your head fall back into your hands. Let your right elbow start to widen. The right armpit ribs slide back. And it's no problem if that right knee starts to lift. Just finding a place where you feel like you can rest. Finding an ease in the neck and the jaw. Great. Okay, now in that very slow, consistent way, start to roll back onto your left side. So your right elbow lifts. You can take the hands out from behind your head. You can bring your right hand to the floor. Slide the right leg long. Roll back onto your front so you're more in that symmetric shape. Hands are wide off the mat. Great. Now go ahead and look forward. We'll get to the second side. Look forward without putting more weight into your hands. On your inhale breath, could you go a little deeper into the back bend? Feel the back of the head moving back. Mouth can be even a little open. The eyes could start to look up. That's right. And gently let that release. Okay, now begin to look over your left shoulder or underneath your left arm. Either one works. Start to slide your left knee up, bringing that left knee towards the blanket. Feel you have more weight on those front right ribs now. Your right arm's going to thread underneath your left arm. And then from there, let your head slowly come to the floor. Okay, so this is one spot you could just stay in if the next directions feel like a little too much.
Bring your hands behind your head, interlace fingers. Yeah, and make sure that you like where the blanket is. It might be kind of moving around, so place it where you need it to be. Right elbow stays connected to the floor. Start to turn the head and the chest towards the ceiling. And that might be just a few degrees. It might be 10 degrees. And that's plenty of a twist for you. So we're not constraining the left knee to the floor. So if the left knee would start to lift, you might be able to turn a little bit more, which gives the blanket, gives your body more access to rolling the blanket in a few different spots. So if you want to feel a little bit more of that, you can play with lifting the knee more and bringing the left elbow closer to the floor, or the opposite. Right, slowly, in that slow, consistent way, start to reverse the movement so that you roll back towards your right side. Bring your left hand to the floor. Slide your left leg long. And again, come back to that symmetric shape where you're in a back bend and the hands are wide. See if you can have very little weight in your hands. And then on a breath in, expand the abdomen towards the floor. See if you can begin to float a little higher with collarbones, moving the back of your head back, gently opening the mouth, looking up with the eyes. Nice, great.
Okay, releasing that. To come out of this, you might just bring your hands back so they're more in line with your blanket. They'll still be wide,
and then push off the blanket. And let's come right onto our back. Once you're on your back, crush your right ankle in front of your left for the figure four shape. Pick up your left foot, bring your hands behind your left thigh, and just gently draw your legs in. Super simple, nice way to neutralize the spine after those back bends. Eyes can close. Okay, keep the right ankle actively flexed, so the right fourth and fifth toe or toenails are drawing towards your right knee. Good. Exhale, bring your left foot down. Take a hold at top of your right knee and just draw your right knee in towards your chest. Your right foot comes off of your left leg. So squeeze in to find hip flexion. Good. Bring the right foot back to the floor. Cross your left ankle over the right thigh. Pick up the right foot, hands behind your right thigh. Draw the legs in. Keep the left leg active. Trying to widen the left knee to the left. Left fourth and fifth toe pull towards the left knee. Good. Release your right foot to the floor. Move your left ankle from your leg. Take a hold at the top of the left shin, drawing your left knee towards your chest. Good. And then pick up your right foot. Take a hold of both legs for happy baby, ankles or feet.
Feel the upper arm bones try to settle back so that the back of your chest can stay very broad and wide on the floor. And here in Happy Baby Pose, can you still feel the back of your sacrum and the back of your head? And this image, as if those two points could start to drift away from each other. Good. Let that release. Let your legs lengthen. Let your arms come down. See if there's anything else that the body feels like it's desiring before you take your final rest. Using whatever kind of supports you'd like, you can use that blanket roll for under your neck or underneath your thighs as a bolster. Letting this time of rest be an invitation to really step into this attentive way of feeling yourself. And if you feel like there's been a quality shift from the beginning of class to now, whether that's, you know, emotional or the attitude change, or there's a different tone in your body, again, see if this resting time can be an invitation to really step into that way of feeling. So as the skeleton settles, as the soft tissue relaxes, the senses are still very awake. The sense of how your clothes feel on your skin. And the temperature of the air around your skin. The sensations of the skin of your face, the forehead. The cheeks, the inner surfaces of your mouth. Feeling where the tongue can soften. The lips. The skin right above the upper lip. Sensation of air coming into the nostrils and out of the nostrils. Noticing the temperature of that air as it draws in. And the temperature as it draws out. Finding a softness behind your ears. Just gently being aware of the sounds of your room. And then at the same time, listening inward. Maybe you can soften the skin and the muscles around your eyes. And then if you would imagine the space right behind your eyes, right behind the very top of your nose, and that's where the top of your spine is. And you can feel the back of your head meet the floor. And then scan down your spine, feeling which parts clearly meet the floor, which parts arc away from the floor, all the way until you get to your sacrum. And sensing this distance between back of head and sacrum. Sensing the weight across the entire pelvis. Take a moment to expand your breath a bit. Bring your breath into your tension. And then before you just roll to your side, can you keep your sacrum in the back of your head, just in your awareness as you do roll to one side, feeling how the spine goes through, side bending and flexing as you come into that fetal position on your side. And from there, coming all the way up to a comfortable seat. Okay, bringing the palms together. May you be free of inner and outer harm. May you be happy and peaceful. May you be healthy and strong. And may you care for yourself with joy. Take a breath in. Exhale. Namaste.
Are you enjoying this podcast? I've chosen to offer these audio recordings freely for over 15 years. I do this because research shows yoga, yoga nidra, and Feldenkrais to be valuable practices, those which I would like to share widely. Dana, the Buddhist practice of generosity, has always been a pillar of my business. And more generally, Dana is the inclination to give without expecting any form of repayment. It does, however, take a fair amount of time, effort, and cost to maintain and keep the podcasts available. If you feel you've benefited from what you've learned from these classes, then please do consider making a contribution towards the maintenance and upkeep of the classes. It will help ensure that I can continue to offer the podcast classes freely and keep generating new material. Give what you can. Give what feels good. If it's too little, it won't feel good. If it's too much, it won't feel good. Links to support the show monetarily can be found in the show notes. And other ways to give include sharing the podcast with others, leaving a 5-star rating and review, or just sending me an email with how the classes have affected you. Thanks so much.